Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel today. I'm going to begin on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Let me just go back and review a few lines from the Mishnah that we did on Shabbos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So if you turn back to page 22, Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b. So the Mishnah says, Manitin Ha'omer Ten Gets Le'ishtei Uftar Shichur Zala Avdi. If a person says, a man says, give this get, this bill of divorce to my wife, Ushar Shikhur Zala Abdi, or this bill of emancipation to my servant, if he wishes to retract either one of them, he could be Choser, because Remeir views it as a negative, as a chova to be, you know, divorced or to be, you know, manumitted as a slave. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Begitin Hashem, the Chachamim say, as far as Gitin Hashem, we're with you 100%. It's a chov, and Mamela, he could be Choser. But when it comes to freeing a slave, we disagree with you. He says, he says that if somebody's a zechus, so the shliach can be mezake the abbot, and then we do it as a zechus. How is this zechus? I'm going back over the Mishnah on Yudal from the days, Bern. If a person wants to cut off, and it was a big advantage for the abbot. And the big advantage to Isha is that rather they're being supported. But if a master decides that he doesn't want to support the slave, he's within his rights to do that, those in the Ishto in Israel with the wife not. So Amar Lahem, so mainly therefore the Chamin hold is a zechus by a woman, it's a chov by a woman to be divorced, but by an Eved, it's a zechus, the Chamin hold. He says, Amar Lahem, Remeir Sefak Chachamim, Reu Posel Avdo Minat Truma, Shem Shu Posel Rishto. He says, but with the Eved, you say it's such a zechus, you know, to be freed, but he's losing his ticket to Truma. In other words, if his master is a Kohen, he, the Eved, has a right to Truma, and he can go to places and say, I'm the Eved of a Kohen and get Truma, and that he's definitely losing out on. So it is a detriment. So Amru Lo Bnei Shu Kinyano, and we'll explain this in the Gemara today, what Bnei Kinyano works. Okay, now turn to Yud Beis Amud Beis. Okay, so the basic idea we learned is Remeir learns it's a chov for a woman or for a slave to be freed, as a result of which, if a man gives a shliach, he can terminate it at any time because the person doesn't get the benefit of it or doesn't get the impact of it until it's delivered. The woman fully gets it delivered to her. And the Eved, is delivered to him. But the Chachamim disagree with an Eved, and they say, look, the master can decide not to support his Eved, so we think it's a zechus to be released. And Remeir says, look, but if his master's a Kohen, we'll have to explain what if the master's not a Kohen, but the Gemara also has if the master's a Kohen, it's also to his detriment, because now he can't have Truma anymore. Okay, let's see, on Yud Beis Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom, page 24, 13 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Tani, with a 13 lines from the bottom on page 24, Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b. Okay. So Tanya, Amar Rav Lazar, so this Brisa, as frequently have in the Gemara, the Brisa elaborates on the Machlok a little bit more than the Mishnah. So Tanya, Amar Rav Lazar, and he means the Tana Rav Lazar, that's Blazar ben Shemua, Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Nalo the Mayor, we said to Rav Meir, he calls him without the title Rebbe because he's his colleague, he says, Amar Nalo the Mayor, it's like just, you know, clarifying in the Mishnah, it's a zechus for the Eved that he's being freed. So we think that Zakim Le'elam Shlobafanov there. Amar Lanu, he, Remeir, said to us, Chovulo, no, it's a Chov, Shemaya Eved Kohen, because if he's a slave of a Kohen, Poslom in a Truma. So he's going to be passeled from Truma, so that's not working out so well for him, so it's a Chov. So Amar Nulo, and we don't understand the give and takes, but clearly in the Gemara we'll elaborate it a little bit. Amar Nulo, we said back to Remeir, Velo Ma'im Yirtzeh Shalom Zonu Shalom Farneso Rasha'i. But if the master decides he's not going to support the slave, he's within his rights. Amar Lanu, Uma Ilu Evet Kohen, we don't understand the give and take, but we'll have to be patient with this. We're 6 lines from the bottom, on the base of base, 12b, 6 lines from the bottom. You got a Robert, 6 lines from the bottom. So Amar Lanu, Uma Ilu Evet Kohen Shabarach, if an Eved of a Kohen fled, Beisha Kohen Shamar Da'abala, or the wife of Kohen, she kind of, you know, got, you know, went her own way with the husband. Hello, Ochlin Betruma. They can still use Truma of Zain Ochel. About Isha Chovula, she came Paslam in a Truba, Umafsidam in a Mizonot. But for a woman, it's a detriment because he passes her from the truma and she loses the mezonah. Okay, so we don't understand the give and take. The Gemara is going to address itself right now. Okay, let me just summarize for Robert just walking in the door, but let me just repeat again, okay? So in the Mishnah, Robert, you with me? The Mishnah we did on Shabbos was on Daf Yud, Yud Aleph, the 11B. So we learned in the Bertei was Yud Beis, Amud Beis, where we're about to do Yud Gimel, but we learned in the Mishnah that according to the Tanur of Meir, if a man gives a get to a shliach, or he gives a get shikur, which is a star shikur, it's a bill of emancipation to a shliach, with a view towards delivering it to his wife or to his servant, and then he changes his mind, he could change his mind. I mean, the fact that the shliach received it doesn't mean that it's attributable to the eved of the isha yet, because I could be mizak, I could bring merit to somebody not in his presence, if it's something positive, not something negative. I may have used it always as a negative to be divorced or to be free. And it's a negative because the person is being financially supported when they're a slave, they're being financially supported when they're a wife. Okay, that's the way Rameyer takes it. And the Chachamim say, we agree with you as far as the wife is concerned. As far as the Eved, we disagree with you because the master could decide at any point in time he doesn't want to support the Eved. So it's not such a more positive thing. So there was the gravy train is subject to termination at will. So, but then Rameyer says, and we have to clarify the whole give and take here, Rameyer says, but if the master is a Kohen, the Eved still has a, it's still negative for him because even if he has to support himself, he goes around, he'll ask people, he say, I'm the Eved of a Kohen, I want some truma, so he's got a free ticket with the truma, okay? And Tosas brings down also that he could buy truma because truma is much cheaper than regular food, because there's a smaller market of people who are able to eat the truma. All right, now, the Gemara quoted a brisa. We didn't understand the give and take in the brisa, but I just want to go from here to the next Mishnah, and then we'll summarize and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the Gemara says, four lines from the bottom. On Yud Beis Amud Beis, 12B, four lines from the bottom. So, my Ka'amulei, my Ka'amahadu, what did the Chachamim say to Rameyer, and what did Meir respond to them? So, Hachi Ka'amar Lahu. This is what Rameyer is saying to the Chachamim. Heshi Votani Alamizonot. So, I understand. So, I said, you know, he's got the free gravy train when he's in Eved, and you say, no, he doesn't. But Mat Shivuni Ala Truma. What are you going to respond to my argument about Truma? In other words, if the master is a Kohen, so the Eved has like this free Truma gravy train, so to speak, and now you're terminating it. And maybe you, the Chachamim, would say to me in response, so look, it's not really a detriment that the shliach, you know, receives the get on behalf of the Eved, because anyway, the master could just throw the get shechror within dalet amos of the Eved. He says, and then that would be the end of his truma. In other words, it's not such a big deal, you know, to terminate. He doesn't even need the shliach to do that. So, but nevertheless, the Gemara says, or Rameyer says, Shabbat Leiva Arik Ba'azilama. No, in other words, if the Eved gets wind of the fact that the master wants to free him, so he could run out, you know, scram out of town, and then that's history. And now the top line is given with Aleph, Uma Ilu Eved Kohen Shabarach, Beisha Kohen Shamar Dalbala, Halo Ochlin Betruma. So if an Eved goes AWOL, or a woman goes AWOL, and they're the servant of a Kohen or the wife of a Kohen, they can eat Truma, Mizayin Ochel. But now, if you free the slave, he can't eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Shapi your Ka'amar Lahu. So the Gemara says, so Rameyer has a good line of argument. You can't eat Truma. So it is a detriment to be freed as a slave. So Amar Rava. So Rava says on line three, Hanud Kama Adri Leiva Manitim. This is what the Chamim were responding to Rameyer in our Mishnah, Neshuhu Kinyano. That he, the Eved, is, can you know, is the property of the master. De'ibay shakil arba zuzim Yisrael. If the master would choose, he could take four zuzim, which is a very small price, from another Yisrael. Upasile kohe for the ita. In other words, the master, in other words, the slave has gone AWOL, but the master could still sell the slave. The slave is still his property. So then that's the end of his Truman gravy train. So it's like, you know, it isn't such a benefit to be an Eved because it could be terminated at will. Now the Gemara says, Rameyer, Tinnach Eved Kohen. Now even according to the argument that Rameyer propounds, that argument only seems to work well if the master is a Kohen. Eved Yisrael, Michael Nehmer, what if the Eved is not an Eved of a Kohen? Everybody can be an Eved of a Kohen. What is an Eved of Israel? What will Rameyer say there? So he'll still hold the same way that it's a detriment to be freed. But what's the detriment? So Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Nishamaf Sido, Mishifta Kanani. he's losing out access to a Shifcha Kanani. So as an Eved, he always could, you know, have relations with the non-Jewish Shifcha. In other words, if the master's got a lot of Shifchot, he's got like a little harem there. So the Gemara says, Adraba harimati rabat chorin. So it's just the opposite. If he's freed, there's more of his chusk. Now he can marry Bas Yisrael. He's like going upgraded. So the Gemara says, Avda the Eved, Befger Nichali. He prefers everything being Hefger. In other words, like kind of like a lawless free. So, right. He says, Zilale is like cheap. Shrichale, it's all around. Pritzale. So he'd rather have the Shifcha. He doesn't want a Bas Yisrael. He's got to treat a certain way. He's got all the Shifcha and he can indulge them as he chooses. Okay, let's just summarize and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic yisod is that the Tana Rabbi Meir says if you give a get or a star shichrur to a shliach, and the get is, when we say get, it means get isha. So the isha is not divorced when the shliach receives the get. And the Eved is not freed when the Shliach receives the get. And it's talking about a Shliach that was appointed by the master, by the husband, because we view it, according to the Tana Meir, as a chov, as a detriment to be freed. So by a wife, we understand the detriment because she loses her support, that we got clearly. But what's the detriment by an Eved? The Eved, the master could cut him off from support at any time. So what's the detriment? So it comes out in the Maskan of Gemara, the detriment is twofold. If his master is a Kohen, so he's losing the free truma that he can get, and in addition, what? Well, that was what the argument of the Chachamim, but the Bermeyer is still topes that he's got the free truma gravy train, and in addition to which he can, even if he doesn't have the free truma, he could buy truma at a discounted rate because truma is cheaper than the regular food, so he'd rather be that way. Then the Gemara says, what would be the detriment if he's not the slave of a Kohen? So the detriment is he doesn't have his Shifcha Kanani. He likes having access to all the Shifcha Kananiot, and now he's being freed, doesn't have that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he'll have like a Bat Chorin. Now he can marry a nice, you know, from Jewish woman. So he says he doesn't like it. He likes the free society. He wants the wild life he had as an Eved. He likes that much more. Now, the Chachamim, for their part, they hold that no, indeed, it's a zechus, it's a merit for the Eved to be freed. That's a positive thing. And they discount the alleged benefits of Truma and the Shifchot. I don't know what to say about that, but So I don't know the only thing we could say is what they responded is that the master could, you know, in other words, it's not. Right. In other words, it's not such a detriment that the person receives the get. In other words, because the master on his own could free him at any time, and even if he's gone AWOL, he could sell it to his next door neighbor in shul. Well, which one? Abdul Bekir Nichle. Why are you asking about that one? Well, he asked about a katan that's not nicha b'hefker is what he's asking. So I don't think that's the, yeah. So, all right, but with the being sold, that's more with the issue of the truma, really. But that's all I have with that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything?
Yes, Rabbi, regarding
Wait. First, let me get the people live, people, then we'll get the Zoom people. Go. Oh, truma. No. In other words, the idea is that according to, is it a plus or a minus being freed as an Eved? Is it a plus or a minus? Is it detriment or not? So if he again, so we're saying that legally the master does not have to financially support him, but if he's an Eved of a Kohen, he has like a food line because he can go to a farmer and say, I'm the Eved of Kohen, let me have some truma. And so that's a free line that way. Right. And in addition to which, we said, if he's an Eved of Kohen, he could purchase truma from people and he's entitled to eat it. And truma costs a lot less than regular food. So that's his advantage. Okay. So what do you want to say, Daniel?
If an Eved has gone AWOL, who would pay money for it? Why would anybody? It's like a mad cow. Who's going to name him for me unless you... a cow, you can come and maybe
no.
What are you going to do with an eved?
No. Oh, you mean who would even pay? No, but in other words, if it's $2, the person would buy it. You know, maybe I'll get a hold of him. So that's what he's saying. Like, if you want to buy the eved for 4 zuzim, which is very discounted rate, you know, people would buy it, and then you know, maybe I'll get him eventually. But the net effect is that terminates the eved's right to the truma. All right. Okay, so I'm going to move on now. We're going on to the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, so we're on Yud Gimel Min Aleph, around 10 lines down. Okay, the next Mishnah. Okay, Matnitin. And I think this is the last Mishnah in the first parak. We're making steady progress. And it's the last Mishnah in this parak. Okay, so now, Matnitin. Ha'omer tu getzel ishti. If a man says to a shliach, I want you to give this get to my wife, shtar shikur zela avdi, or this bill of emancipation to my servant, who made it. And then the person dies before the get is delivered or the shtar shikur is delivered. Lo yinu lachar mita. They should not deliver it after he's dead. Now, it means that ain't get lachar mita. There's no get after the person is dead. Once the person dies, that automatically terminates the marriage. So the shliach can't give a get after the husband is dead because ain't get lachar mita. There's no get after death. And the get is not effective anyway after death. Now, and same thing with the shtar shikur. Once he dies, the eved by act of law falls into the master's estate, and so that's the way it goes. Okay, but we'll clarify more in the more a bit. Okay, so it says l'yinu l'acharmita. Now tenu mana l'ish ploni. Let's say a person says, "I want you to give mana as 100 zuz to X umay," and then he dies. They should give it after the person is dead, and we will discuss in the Gemara what the reasons are for that. Okay? Okay, so any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, let's go on. Now, the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Mishmei Derav. Now, we're going to focus on the last part of the Mishnah first, then we'll come back to the first part of the Mishnah. Last part of the Mishnah is the person says, Tnu mana le'ish ploni. Give a mana, which is 100 zuz, to, let's say, Reuven. And then the donor dies, so the person he said it to should not fulfill his wishes. So, excuse me, should fulfill it. You get new lachar, I mean, they should fulfill his wishes. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Mishmei Derav, Hush Tzvura Menachem the Karen Zavid. So, according to this, Rav says, provided that the money is piled up in a certain corner in the house, meaning it's clearly defined which money the man was referring to, then under those circumstances, it should be delivered after his death. So the Gemara says, Mayaskin, what is the case of the Mishnah? So Ilema Babari, if we're talking about a healthy donor, he says, Kitzvur in Mayahabi. So the fact that it's piled up, what difference does that make? Halomashach, that the recipient never did Mashiach on it. In other words, I could talk from today till tomorrow. I'm going to give this, I'm giving this, this, that, the other. Then you have to do a Kinyan. Kinyan is an act of acquisition. So title transfers. So the recipient did not do Mashicha during the lifetime of the donor. Mashicha is you draw it into your Rishut. You draw it into your Rishus. That would be the act of kinyan. That wasn't done. So what difference does it make if it's piled up? And if it's a healthy donor, it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela, so a process of elimination, v'shchiv mira. So we think if it's not talking about a healthy person, maybe it's talking about a person who's on his deathbed, and there are different dinim when it comes to kinyanim. It says, so my ear yitzivurin, what difference does it make if it's on his deathbed, whether the money is piled up or not piled up? He ain't tzvurin nami, even if the money is not piled up, the hakaimalon, we hold this matter of halacha, that the words of a shchimira we consider to be like as if it had already been delivered. If a person on his deathbed says, I want X to have, you know, I want black, I want, you know, this cow to belong to X, so it belongs to X. Because it's a din d'rabbanan, and it was because I didn't want people to get, you know, all aggravated on the deathbed, and they have a co-op to do this. And the way Rabbi Werblaska today, it's like from Hefker Betz and Hefker. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Zavid." So the point is, though, we're trying to reconcile two concepts. Rav says the money is piled up. We can't understand why it's significant the money we've piled up. If he's healthy, it doesn't make a difference piled up or not. You have to mashicha. If he's on his deathbed, it doesn't matter if piled up or not. It's already in the transfer. So what's the with this piled up? So the Gemara says, last narrow line, Amar Rav Zvi, the Olam Babari. So Rav Zvi says, no, we're going back to the first shot, that the donor was healthy. And then he said, well, if he's healthy, so he has to Mashiach. Uchrav Hun Amar Rav. The Amar Rav Hun Amar Rav, Manali Biyadcha, Tanei Lo Leploni, B'ma Amad Shlash Tam Kana. If, let's say Reuven is a Malva, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon owes Reuven $10,000. And then Reuven pulls Levi over, and Shimon is present. And Reuven says to Shimon that the $10,000 you owe me, I want you to give to Levi. So if he just makes that statement, Levi's Kohen at the $10,000 for reasons that we'll explain shortly. Now, the only question is, I jumped the gun a bit, because there's a machloket. See, Rav Zvid holds that Rav only said this didn't by Pikadon. So I shouldn't say it was a loan. Let's say Pikadon is a bailment. Let's say Reuven had given a diamond ring to Shimon to guard. And now Reuven says to Shimon, the diamond ring that you were, you know, was a bailment for me, I want you to give it to Levi. So Levi acquires it. Levi acquires it. And Levi has to be there. So we'll see in a minute in the Gemara what's going on with this. So he says here, so you want to say in the same way, that only works if the way Rav Zvid understands it, it's bikaron. Bikaron means it's clearly defined. In other words, the object is a clearly defined object, which the person he's speaking to has in his possession. So with the money that's piled up in the corner, that's a clearly defined object, which the person has. And he's saying, so we think the pshat in the Mishnah is that the person who's healthy says in the presence of the shaliach and presumably also the recipient, I want this money to go to Plony. I want it to go to Plony. So then Plony acquires it. That's what we think that it's going. That's what we think. He says, Plony, Kana. On the second white line, Rapapa Amar, the Olam Meshchiv Nira. Rapapa says, no, it's talking about a person on his deathbed, Uchidach the Rav. But you have to stem this with another statement of Rav. The Amar Rav, Shchiv Nira Shamar, Tnu Mana Leploni, Menachasai. If a person on his deathbed said, I want you to give a mana, mana is 100 zuz, to Ploni from my estate, mana is their note name. If he says, this mana, you should give it, he identifies the mana, you give it to him. Mana stam ain't known him. Just as a mana, we don't give it. Why? Maybe he has in mind a mana that's buried in the backyard or something. We don't know where it is, so we wouldn't do that. So therefore, we have to say it has to be clearly identified. Let me summarize in a minute. We're not worried about that. Okay, let's go back. Let's just repeat a little bit, and then we'll focus. So again, focusing on the last halach in the Mishnah, said if a person says new mana le ish ploni, give a mana which is 100 zuz to ish ploni, to a person who identifies, and then the donor dies, yitnu la'achar mita. Tana Mishnah says they should give it to him after death. So the question is, why does this work and how is it effective? If I just say give it to somebody, it's not effective. So, and then the Gemara quoted the statement of Rav that the Tana Mishnah is talking about, that the money has been piled in a corner in the house. So it's clearly identifiable which mana he's referring to. So the Gemara has two pshatim, one by Rav Zvid and one by Rav Papa. Rav Zvid says, we're talking about the donor is healthy. He passed all his medical tests. But he holds that if you do something, the mamad shlashtan, in other words, if you're conveying property in the presence of three people, so I say, like the money, this would have to be that you have access to the money, but I want you to give it to Plony. So then Plony acquires it. Even though it's just a statement, Plony acquires it. That's the way we'll have to say within Rav Zvid. And then the second shot we have is, according to our Papa, we're talking about where the person was on his deathbed. So on his deathbed, he says, give a mana to Plony. But there's another statement, though, of Rav. And Rav, in this statement, Rav says, if he says this mana and identifies the mana, then give it to him. But if he just says mana, stam not. So here we're talking about a person on his deathbed, but he clearly identified which mana it would be. So therefore it works according to Rav Papa. But Gemara ends up saying, we don't hold from Rav Papa. The Hilchot Kuru Lo Chayshin. We're not afraid that he buried a mana somewhere. So if he said give a mana, we would give it to him. But within the Sukkimta, Rav Papa holds that that's the way. Those are the two pshatim. All right, let me do another 6 or 7 lines, then we'll talk, okay? Yeah, just another 6 or 7 lines, then questions, okay? So the Gemara says, on the bottom line, on Yudgim Amidal, 13a, bottom line. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa, my Tamil Mark, Rav Zvid. So why is it that Rav Papa, who says that the Mishnah is talking about a Shchivin Ra, why does he not say, like Rav Zvid said, it's the healthy person, and he's doing like a Mamad Shlashtan? So he says, my Tamil Mark, Sabar, turn page. Let me get the page open, 1 second. Kisava Rav Papa ki amarav loshna b'milva loshna b'kadon. So Rav Papa holds that when Rav said that mamat shlashtan works, it works not just for pikadon, but it works for milva also. See, the difference with the milva, when I loan money to somebody, milva lohotsanina. Milva, the money is given to circulate. So when I get the money back, it's not the same money that I lent out. So the linchpin of Rob's statement is that if somebody owes me money, so I could say give the money to Plony, and Plony acquires it. If it's Mamad Shlashtan, if all three parties are present, it works. So here, so the first shot was saying, why does it have to be that the money is piled in a corner? Because the first shot was from Rav's Vid. Rav's Vid holds that it only applies by a picadon. And a picadon is, it's clearly identifiable. So that's the linchpin of his pshat. Since it has to be identifiable, and Rav is the one who says it's surin, that's the way he understands the Rav's halacha, where Rav himself may not have held this way, but that's the way he understands the halacha. So he has to say that it's surin. Because, but Rav Papa holds that Rav said it not just by, he said the halacha, not just by a picadon, but even by a milveh. So if that's the case, he wouldn't say it has to be tsfurin, because it doesn't apply that way. Okay, there's a few more lines and we'll do it. He says here, Rav Zvid, my tamal no kamor papa. Why does Rav Zvid not like Rav Papa's hezber about the shchiv mira? He says, lo mitok manitin b'shchiv mira. He says, because we can't say the Mishnah is talking about a shchiv mira, a person on his deathbed. Why? Mimai. Why can it not be talking about a person on his deathbed? Mitikatani. This is going to be a little bit of a proof here. I didn't realize it was going to go. I feel badly. Maybe I should pose some questions at this time. All right. Let me go a little bit further. Okay. So the Gemara says, why can it not be talking about a shchiv mira? He says, Mitani ha'omer tzu gets the ishti ushar shichur zela abdi umeid lo yinu la'achar mita. So we assume that whatever fact pattern the Mishnah is talking about is all the cases in the Mishnah. So if the Seif is talking about a shchiv mira, the Reish would also be talking about a shchiv mira, person on his deathbed. So the Reish says, presumably, according to this pshat, a person on his deathbed, and he says, give this get to my wife, give this shtar shechur to my eved, and then he dies, they shouldn't give it to me after death. Tama demeit. The reason that you shouldn't give it to him is because he died. But if he were alive, then you should continue giving it. So tama da amar tenu. But the key is that he said tenu, give this get to my wife. He says, "Halo amar tenu einotin." But if he didn't say tenu, we wouldn't give it to him. That's presumably, and we assume that every element in the Mishnah is required. So he says, "Ushchimira afagabel amar tenu notin." But the halacha by shchimira is even if he doesn't say tenu, we would do it. He says, "Didnam." We learn this Mishnah. This Mishnah is later on our Masechta. For Rishona, you omrim mayotzi lekolar. Initially, they said if somebody is being taken out in chains, meaning to be executed, we amar kitvu get liishti. He says, "Write a get to my wife. I don't want her to have whatever a yibum problem, whatever else is going on." He says, "Harel yichtvu v'yitnu." In other words, even though he didn't say, normally a husband has to say, "Write this get and give it." I can't assume if he says, "Write the get," that I'm authorized to deliver the get. But if a person is being taken out to be executed in chains, and he says, "Write a get," we assume he was too far tumble his current affairs, and he forgot to say, "Give it to my wife." He says, Chazu lomar, then the Chachamim later on said, after mefaresh, that even a person who's about to get on a boat, and he says, like, he's about to board a boat, and a boat, it was like a dangerous experience in those days, you never knew you're going to get off the boat, and he says, by yotze b'shayara, or a person going out in a caravan through the desert, also a dangerous experience, and he says, ready to get to my wife, and he didn't say given, we assume he was like a little too far tumult, it's like, think like a dangerous, he's taking like a dangerous trip. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, here's the key line. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, Afa Masukan, that even if a person who is dangerously ill says, Kitu get liishti, then you're authorized to deliver it. So again, we said, how come Rav Zvi doesn't hold by Rav Papa's explanation, because Rav Papa says the Mishnah is talking about a Shchimira. He says, but if it's talking about a Shchimira, why does the Mishnah say that you have to say Tenu, you know, he says, Omer Tenu Gedlin Lishti. Why does he have to say Tenu? Even just as Kivu, it should be enough. But Matkitl Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi asked a strong Kasha against that Ukemta, he says, Uman Neimalan, the Manithin Rav Shazurihi. Who says our Mishnah follows Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? Maybe the Tan of our Mishnah holds that there is no exception for a person who's Mesukat. As we saw in the Mishnah that we just quoted, that only Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that if the person's in a dangerous situation, like dangerous for health, that he's dying, then even if he says Kitu Gitli Ishti, that's enough. But nobody else necessarily holds it. So maybe our Mishnah goes like everybody else. He says, Dilma Rabbanan. Maybe it's going to come. Okay, now let me stop. Let's just summarize. Let's digest what we did, and then let's digest a little bit. Okay, so the key of Kempton and the Gemara was, which would first we have two cases: the Seif in the Mishnah and the Reish in the Mishnah. So the Seif, it talks about a person who wants to give money to his friend. Reuven wants to give money, let's say, to Levi. Reuven wants to give money to Levi. So the first thing is that Rav. So he says, "I want you to give this mana, this 100 zuz, to Levi," and then he dies. We give the money to Levi. So what is the case that the Mishnah is speaking about? So first, Rav says the Mishnah is talking about that the money was piled up in a corner. That's the money he said. Like there was a pile of money in the corner. That's the money he said. So Rav Zvid says the Mishnah is talking about a healthy person, and he said, "Give this money to my pal." So how could that work though? But the pal didn't do a kinyan on it. So how does this help? In other words, it means that the shliach didn't take possession of it or anything like that. He says, so how does this work? He didn't do b'shita on it. So then we referred to, Rav has the shita that if a person makes a statement, the ma'amad shlashtan, in the presence of all three people, the recipient acquires it by act of law. So we say that all three people were present. In other words, let me see how we'll work with the three people here. One second. Okay. Yeah. So he says here. This is in footnote 21. The Mishnah refers to a man who deposited a mana with a custodian. In other words, so it means that the Reuven, the donor, whose money it is, had deposited the money with Shimon, who was a shomer. And he says to Shimon, in the presence of Levi, the money that I gave you previously, I want you to give it to Levi. So that's called ma'amad shlashtan. Like all three parties are present. And we're doing just with picado now. Picado. We saw Milvah, but now it's only about picado. So according to Rav Zvid, so it means Reuven has a mana, and the mana is in the possession of Shimon, and might be piled up in the corner, In other words. He doesn't give it to Levi yet, and then Reuven dies. He doesn't give it to Levi. So how does Levi acquire the money? Well, in other words, here's the thing. In other words, we're talking about, normally you need a kinyan. You need an act of acquisition. We don't do an act of acquisition. It's not transferred. This is a healthy guy. He says, this money, which is piled up in the corner, maybe it was the other person's house, but Shimon is the shomer on that money, I want you to give to Levi. So there's a halachic principle called ma'amad shlashtan. That if, and this question, how wide a blanket it or a scope it covers, but it certainly covers pikadon. So if I have a bailment that's my property and you're in possession of it, and I say, and you're here and Sal is here, I said, the diamond ring that I gave to you to watch, I want you to give it to Sal, to give it to him as a gift. So even though Sal doesn't take possession of it, he acquires it. That's how halacha. We'll see if we get to it tonight. I want to go through the Gemara. That's ma'amad shlashtan. So one pshat in the Mishnah is that we're talking about, Rav Zvid, the Mishnah is talking about ma'amad shlashtan, and that's why Levi acquires it. You got this? Then I know. Okay. Now, the second pshat we had was from Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, it's talking about a person on his deathbed. And so why does he have to say this specific amount of money? So, and again, we said that So he says that according to Rapapa, if a person is on his deathbed and he says, I want you to give a mana to Levi, unless he says this specific mana, Levi does not acquire it. In other words, these are like exceptions to the laws of Kinyanim. In other words, if a person's on his deathbed, so his directions are considered to be fulfilled as if it had been delivered already. But we're saying it has to be a clearly identifiable object. So according to this opinion, if I just say a mana, it doesn't work because maybe I meet a mana that was buried in the backyard and I don't know about it. So the Gemara rejects that idea, but that's the second shot that we had. Then we said, how come each one doesn't hold by the other one's shot? So we said, Rav Papa, why isn't it like Rav Zvid? So Rav Papa doesn't like Rav Zvid's shot. Rav Zvid was where the healthy person says, you know, give it to him, because he doesn't.
Even for a loan would work.
Right, right. That's exactly right. In other words, if it only works, if Ma'amad Shlashan only works by Pikadon, then I understand it has to be clearly identifiable. But if it works even by a loan, it doesn't have to be clearly identifiable. So he doesn't think that works out with Rav's shot. Then we said, how come Rav Zvid doesn't hold by Rav Papa? So he says, because it doesn't make sense that our Mishnah is not talking about a Shchemira. Okay, all right, let's sorry. Who's your question? You look frowning today, Fern. Okay, whatever questions you got.
No, I'm okay. Issue was the piling up of the, what does it being in a pile bring to the party?
Yeah, so
it brings, now.
Right, so according to the first answer, it brings that it's a clearly,
the specificity, that's it.
According to both, it brings something. So according to the first shot, I only say Ma'amad Shlashan by a Pikadon. So it means there's a clear Pikadon that I'm referring to.
Specificity.
Right. And then according to the second shot, I need it. Because again, it means I need specificity according to the second shot, because I need to know that he's not giving a mana, he's giving this mana. Okay? Now,
so both, it goes with the specificity. Okay.
Right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving in the Gemara. You know, a lot of these Gemaras are very lam d'shenyanim, and you could be my eye on the nice principles, and you could expand that hopefully in your own time and things. But let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now, we're up to Gufa. Okay, so around 15 lines to the bottom on Yud Gimel Beis. Everybody with me? So Gufa means that we learned earlier in the Gemara. Amar Abuna Marav. Manali biyadcha, if Reuven says to Shimon, you have a mana of mine in your possession, Tanelo Laploni, give it to Levi, the Mamad Shlashan Kana. So if all three parties are present, Levi's Kona. So Amar Rava, Mistabra Milta the Rab, Pikadon. It's more logical that Rav is talking about a Pikadon. A Pikadon is a bailment, but it means there's a clearly identified object. Above a milva lo, but by a milva, less logical that it would be this way. He says, "V'ha'lo Kim, I'm a Rav," but he takes a shvua that Rav said, "Afilu b'milva," even by a loan. He says, "It mar nami, I'm a shvua mishmei delevi milva malva milva libiadva tenelo laploni b'mach slasham kana." So here the Gemara is saying that according to both Rav and Shmuel, that this mamach slasham works not only by pikadon, but it also indeed works even by a milva. Now we have to clarify how this works. In other words, how do you get, in other words, normally to transfer property from one person to another, legally, I have to do a kinyan. Robert, you got it with me? In other words, the purchaser normally does a kinyan with the buyer, with the seller, either the kinyan mishifa, or if you say maor or kono, you transfer the money, it can be the kinyan, or if you say kinyan chalipin is also a kinyan. Here there's no kinyan, it's just give it to him, and Levi acquires it, even though he didn't give it to Levi. Levi acquired it. So how does that work? And it's working whether it's a pikadon or a milva, is what the Gemara is saying. So we're trying to figure out how this works, okay? So now, let's see back on the Gemara. So v'tamamai, so why does it work? Amar meimar, nasa ka'omerlo v'shat matan ma'od, shabana lach l'didak v'da'atu mechamatav. So we think that in every loan, we think right now, the Gemara is going to go through a couple of kimtas and, you know, reject. But right now we think that in every loan, it's as if the borrower says, he doesn't actually say this, but it says, if the borrower says to the lender that my money, the money is meshuba, the money is subject to, you know, your lien.
Security.
Okay, so it's meshuba, in other words, it's subject to your claim. He says, ladida to you, will hold the atu mechamatach. Anybody who comes, like in your shoes. Yathi, you know, your chavrus is over there. Okay. Aaron's here. Okay. Right. Okay. There you go. Okay. So, Shabbat Allah, ladida hold the atu mechamatach. So, it means that both parties agree at the time, even of a loan, that the property that's due and owing will be meshubad to the, you know, we talk about loans, like there's a shibud aguf and a shibud nechasim. In other words, if I borrow money, so the lender has a claim against the money, I owe it, but it's also like a unique tie between the two people. But he's saying the money will be meshubad to you and anybody comes from you. So Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimar, Elamiata. So if that's the way we're going it, we think that the borrower agreed from the get-go that, like, the money is, like, you know, yours and to anybody you may designate. That's the base we would say it, like, in contract law. Time and loan, this money is yours or to anybody that you may designate, it's yours, it'll be his. In other words, that's where the parties are agreeing. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimar, Elamiata, Hikna Lenola Dim, Lo Havu B'Shat Matan Ma'ot, Hachanami Lo Kanu. What if the lender, let's say it's a 10-year loan or a 20-year loan, and now the lender designates somebody who was not alive and being at the time of the initial loan. In other words, so let's say it's a 15-year-old. He says, I want the 15-year-old to acquire this loan. But the whole idea was, I agree the money should be due and owing to you or anybody that is, you know, you should designate or claiming from you. But this person was not alive and being at that time. He says, "Dafil Remeir da Amar da Machlan Davar Shlo Bal Yolam." Even Remeir, who says that a person, but in other words, it's an issue in halakha.
Can I transfer?
Right, exactly right, Fern. There's a question in halakha: can I transfer something that does not yet exist in the world? Can I make a binding kinyan for something that's not yet exist in the world? And so, it's throughout Shas. So he says like this. So even Remeir, who says that a person could transfer something that's not Bali Olam, Haimil Devar Shieshno Ba'olam, it means that, let's say I have, like Fern was saying, I have the Peiro Dekel, I have the date palm trees, but the dates have not yet come onto the trees. So Remeir says, the date palm exists, so I can say, I'm going to sell you the dates that will come on the trees in the spring or whatever, like that. I could, because the date palm, but the dates exist. But if something is totally not in the world at all, like this person who was born after the original transaction, then I can't transfer anything to that person. In other words, we have the original deal. The original deal is, I'm going to, this money will be due and owing to you or to anybody who's coming, like to claim, like from you, or, you know, says like successor in interest to your claim, to you. But at the time that they made that contract, this 15-year-old was not alive yet. He's not yet born. So in halakha, I can't be mezakeh somebody. In other words, they did maybe, you know, in other words, I can't be mezakeh somebody for somebody's not yet in the world. So Elam Rav Ashi, so that was the Gemara gives him that idea. Elam Rav Ashi, top line of the Elam and Aleph. Elam Rav Ashi, so explanation number two. Bahiyana the Kamishtani le bin milvi yishtan lenulva chadasha gamar mesabit chabi nafshi. So the Gemara wants to say like this, that the Lova, he's delighted that he has a new malva now. In other words, Reuven, the malva, says to Shimon, the lova, the money that you owe me as a loan, now it's due and payable to Levi. Now Levi acquires it. So now why does Levi acquire it? What did Levi do? We didn't have any kinyanim. So the Gemara says that Shimon, the lova, is so ecstatic having a new malva. He feels like a new slate. Right, new lease on life. Let's take a look at the Rashi. On the top line of Rashi, he says, Bahiana deka mishtanya hai milva lagabi hai mi milva yishan lil chadasha v'noach lo dechor piron zvanaro. He figures, now I can push it off even more. In other words, like,
I had a relationship with Reuven, and maybe Reuven was done with me. He said, I can't handle this anymore. I'm going to take you to Bezdin. Yeah, maybe Levi's been an easygoing guy. He'll give me another year with this or something like that, another 6 months on loan. So he's happy with it. We got rid of that. Levi was around at the time of the original loan. Okay. We got rid of that pshat. He says, with the tremendous benefit that accrues to Shimon between an old loan and a new loan, Gamar Mishabi Nafshe. So he's so eager, he's Mishabi Nafshe, and he's Mishabi himself, he obligates himself to give the money to Levi. So the way I was talking to Rabbi Roblowski today, he thought it was like similar to like Dvarim HaNichnim Bamira, like on Shmuz Night I spoke about this. If you have, you know, the parents of the brought the Chassan and the Kala at a wedding, they make arrangements, how much are you giving to your son, how much to your daughter. And then the two of them get married, the Chassan Kal get married. So it's a kinyan because they're getting so much hana'a from the fact that it took place. So it comes out that way. So, but the Gemara is going to reject this as well. So Amalei Huna Mar Barei Drav Dechemi Rabashi, Elamiata, Kiyon Hani Debe Bar Al Yashiv, the Kafti Bishakli La Alter, Hachna Lo Tanu. So what if the new person is not a nice guy? What if the new person is like Be Bar Al Yashiv? They tie people up and they take the money like they're like it's like the mafia, you know what I mean? Like what if the new lender is like a guy, you're afraid he's gonna like do what who knows what to you, so then it's not effective legally? He says, so maybe you say, yeah, in that case it's not effective, it doesn't work. In Kena Tatabrechli Shiorns, then you're gonna have a different halacha that will apply depending on who the new ostensible malva is, and in halacha we usually don't do it that way. El Amar Mar Zutra. Okay, so now here's the key line that we have to remember, and this is the punch, the bottom line of the Gemara. El Amar Zutra, Hani Tat Mili Shavin Rabban Kilchata Belo Tama. He says the following three halakhot were like halakhot that Chamim devised as if it were halakhot Belo Tama, like halakhot Lo Shemi Sinai, a given. There was a reason for it, but if you look at Rashi, he says on the second arrow line, Ki'ilu kibla halakha mashmisina she'in srit latet batam. We don't give a tam for it. Charaha, one is this halakha, in other words, this halakha that the money is indeed transferred to the new malva. The idach tamar vinamar shmuel hakotik from the chasav le'ishto lo asa'il apotropia. The second halakha is if a person, he wrote a shar sabah, like a will, and he said, all my property goes to my wife. So we construe it that he didn't mean that all property goes to the wife. In other words, he's got kids also. We don't think that he intended to cut the kids out. He meant that the wife should be like an executor of the estate. He says, and ve'idach, the last halacha, the Amar Hanania, Masi Isha, with no gadol b'bayit, if a person marries off his oldest son in a house, they would have a house like for weddings, kina'o, that the son acquires that. So, one minute. So let's go back again. So, okay. So we're trying to understand how this halakha works. If I say I do something, the mamach shlashton, how does this work? What are the mechanics where again, so we said that it applies to pikadon and applies to milva. So it means Reuven either has a pikadon with Shimon or he's got a loan with Shimon. And he says to Shimon in the presence of Levi, pay it to Levi. Then Levi automatically acquires it. It's Levi's property. So how does that work? How does that work? The mechanics of that. How does that work? Since Levi didn't do a kinyan. So first we thought that maybe it goes back to the time of the original transaction, that when he did the original loan, he said to him, or it's as if the Lovis said to the Malva, that I'm going to owe this money to you and to anybody else that you may designate. But we said that that runs afoul because if the loan, let's say, was a 20-year loan, and then Reuven designates somebody who was not alive when they made the original transaction, the original loan, nevertheless, it's worked. So the Gemara rejects that. Then the Gemara said, maybe it works for a different Hesber, nothing to do with everybody's alive, but that the borrower, Shimon, is so delighted to have a new Malva, because he figures the old Malva, you know, I don't know, I've been pushing him off, this, that, the other, he got patient with me. Maybe this new Malva will give me a better deal. I'm happy with that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that works only if the new Malva means the nice guy. If the new Malva is like a rough guy, like a mafioso, so then it wouldn't work. So then maybe it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, but you can't have a different halacha
you know, for this new person, the other new person. So the Gemara rejects it as well. So then the Gemara says that this is one of three halakhot about Mamat Shlashtan that it means that Din Rabbanan, that the Chachamim gave, but means that they said it's like halakha Moshe Misinai, meaning that we even, in other words, it doesn't work by the normative rules of Kinyanim, but the, in other words, the Chachamim always have a koach, say Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. And the Chachamim said, this is the rule. If a Mamat Shlashtan, this is the rules we're setting up, and the person acquires it. In other words, you can't rationalize it out with the other existing kinyanim, but it works. It works. That's what the Chachamim is saying. It works. Okay. Mamat Shlashtan. Okay. Now, let me just do, all right, now let me take some questions, comments, thoughts. I'm not done yet. And then. Right. So the wife is only treated as an apotropia, as an administrator of the estate and not the recipient of the property. We assume that's a different halacha. We assume in that case means that he had children, and he didn't mention the children in this whole disposition. We assume that he meant that he wanted children to have the estate, and he only meant that the wife should be an apotropia. But I assume that she would get support from the estate, but she would not get anything else. Let me see for a minute. Let me see what it says here. One second. Yeah. He says the reason for this enactment is that since it's unusual for a man to disinherit his children, the sages assume that his intention was to appoint his wife as guardian so as to ensure his children would continue to honor her. So I assume that she gets supported from the estate, but not that she owns anything in the estate. That's what I assume. All right, now let me just do a few things, that will be it. Now, today's Yud Gimel. Okay. Now, we said, the Mishnah says, if one says to a shliach, give this get to my wife, shliach should not deliver the get after the husband dies. Shliach delivers the get after the husband's death, it does not take effect, and this will not release her from Yivam. We said, there's ein get la harmita. The Ksosach Hoshen, this is from the Daf Digest, the Al Hadaf, rather, the Al Hadaf. The Ksosach Hoshen cites a disagreement among the Rishonim regarding a case of one who appointed a shliach, deliver get, and subsequently became a shota, insane, thus incapable of granting divorce. Let's say a person, he says to a shliach, give this get to my wife, and then, you know, a day later, he goes meshuga. Now, a meshuga person can't give a get to his wife. What happens to that get now? Should the shliach deliver the get? Is the get effective or not? So, this is my focus Rishonim. So, the Rambam maintains that even if the get was delivered after the husband lost his sanity, it's valid in our Torah, even though the husband was incapable of granting a divorce at the time the get was delivered. He's of the opinion that as long as the shliach was appointed when the shliach was of sound mind, he's authorized to act in the husband's stead, even after the husband becomes insane. Although such a get is valid in the Torah, it is invalid by rabbinic decree. But according to the Rambam, it's a valid get on a deraisa level. That's what the Rambam says. The Tur disagrees and rules that such a get is invalid in the Torah. He's of the opinion that the husband must be of sound mind when the shliach delivers the get. Shliach cannot perform a divorce on behalf of a person who is halachically incapable of divorcing his wife. Now, the Ksosa Choshen finds difficulty with the Rambam's position, for the Mishnah says that a shliach cannot perform the divorce after the husband's death, even though the husband appointed him while he was obviously still alive. The Mishnah indicates, as the Torah says, the shliach is not empowered to deliver a get, for a husband is incapable of performing the divorce himself, even if at the time of the designation the husband was capable of performing the divorce. So the question is like this: what's the difference between let's all focus. What's the difference between a man who gives a get to a shliach, says, give this to my wife, and then he dies, in which case the shliach is not empowered to give the get, and according to the Rambam, the case where the man says, give this get to my wife, and then he becomes a meshuga, and according to the Rambam, the shliach could deliver the get, and it would be an effective get. That's the question. No. But why should there be a different result? It should be the same result.
But she's stuck.
Okay. So let's see. But the way he's figuring right now,
right? Because the other way, she's an almana.
He's figuring right now is the person is not physically capable of issuing a divorce when he's dead. He's not capable of issuing a divorce when he's meshuga. Why should be a difference between the two? So in answer, the Ksos cites Rashi. In answer, the Ksos cites Rashi, who indicates that the reason a shliach cannot deliver a get
after the husband's death is that the marriage bond is severed at the time of death. Because what you were saying, Robert, I mentioned earlier in the shiur, he says making it impossible is divorce irrelevant and impossible. In other words, it's not that he's not capable of giving a get. Once he dies, there is no marriage. The marriage automatically terminates. Therefore, even if shliach has some power to effect the divorce, if the husband becomes insane and capable of doing so, he cannot grant a get after the husband's death, since the marriage is dissolved at the time of death. Insanity, I don't know what he says, insanity, on the other hand, in contrast to death, does not dissolve a marriage. And therefore, the Rambam is of the opinion that as long as the shliach was appointed by a sane husband, he may carry out his charge and perform the divorce even if the husband becomes insane. So it means that, in other words, in terms of authority, the shliach is authorized in both instances. But in one instance, the marriage is terminated. So, so you're authorized, but there's no marriage. So you're dead in the water. In the other instance, the way the Rambam will understand it, you're authorized, and in Achinami, go ahead, and I mean, at Torah level, you could deliver the get. Okay, let me just do a little story, and then I'll be here for today. Yeah, go ahead. Right.
Once the messenger gets that get, he's free.
Right.
So even if he dies, he dies free.
Right, and that would not be the case. That we're talking about a woman. No. Which case are you talking about? The Mishnah. Wait. And which the Mishnah only said tenu, you know, can mean tenu get leishti shar shifra zilabi. Oh, yeah. So I left something out. It means that he didn't give it to the shliach before he died. In other words, it means that he left it on the table, and he says, right. Okay, all right, we'll do 2 minutes and that'll be it. All right.
You got a very nice turnout for 7:05 on the Memorial Day.
I'll show you who's here. Here's who's here. Okay, well, some of the people are out here from Incha, not for the top. But All right, now.
The garnished.
All right, let me just do 2 more minutes, that'll be it. The local rabbis in the community, all right, I'll do this. Local rabbis in the community of Ishkupi, I don't know where Ishkupi is, arranged a divorce to be given to a certain woman who had not had children with her husband after her husband's death. So in other words, in a certain community, the people arranged like a posthumous divorce. So the question of whether this was permitted came to the Mari Ben Lev, Sisal. Mari Ben Lev responded, the bottom line is, he says, you can't have a get lock or mita. Okay, they don't call it a day at this. Anyway, listen, nice having everybody. Let me just a second.